16 this evening. I thought we was going to get done tonight, but the Lord laid a little extra something in here that I believe we need to hit a little bit tonight. So we'll look at one part of this and then probably run my rabbit, and then we'll try to draw it back into where we're at and finish out hopefully next week with chapter 16. And again, we're in no big hurry, just trying to show us some things here about the book of Revelation. Had a guy today tell me some things. I like it when people try to talk, but not that I know anything. You know, I'm about as dumb as a rock sometimes, but had a guy, I was actually dealing with a salesman, and I guess because he was talking to a preacher, he thought he'd throw some religion in there to make me feel comfortable, but he started talking about, this guy's sort of a termite, a yo-yo anyway. He's half Jew, half Baptist is what he told me, so I don't know what he is, but, I don't think he's saved, but that's between him and the Lord. I don't know, but I wasn't with him that long, but, he's trying to talk revelations, and there's a time, I guess, to try to tell somebody, then there's a time you might as well just leave things alone. So today was one of those times, it was just time to leave it alone. I just listened and spoke to myself inside. So a lot of misconfusions when it comes to this great book, and people say the book of Revelation is a hard book. It really isn't. The book of Revelation, God tells us, there's promises to those of us that read and study the book of Revelations, and it's not that hard of a book if you just compare Scripture with Scripture. Don't listen to all the yahoos out there on the radio, and don't buy all the books that's out there in the bookstore. Just stick to the Bible, and God's Word's true. And I'm disappointed again in our country. Disappointed. I was really disappointed in the Girl Scouts, and now I'm disappointed in the Boy Scouts. So bothers me. Our country's in a mess. And the whole problem is we've turned away from the Word of God. And there's no way. If I had a boy that was old enough to be in the Boy Scouts, ain't no way I'd put my youngin' in Boy Scouts. I don't want no gay guy touching my youngin'. I wouldn't. So I mentioned last week, or I guess it was Sunday, whenever it was, about how the Word of God is, people's changed the book. And we're seeing results of that. And same thing here in the book of Revelation. People they don't know what they're talking about because they don't have the book. But here in Revelation chapter 16, look with me. I'll try to get back on this. Verse number 8. And the Bible says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Excuse me. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they hinted not to give him glory. I'll say more about this in a minute. That's a sad verse. Again, we're looking at a preview here of hell is what we're seeing here. And I'll show you that in a minute. But just to wet your lip a little bit here on this thing, look at that. Men were scorched. They were scorched with great heat. And they blasphemed the only one that could help them, the Bible says. Look, it says, and they blaspheme the name of God which hath power over these plagues. Blaspheme the only one that could help them. Verse 9 again, and when men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So we see here a great preview, a great picture of what hell is going to be like. So let's pray, and we'll let you be seated. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, as we've gathered together in this place, God, that you'd help us. God, it's not about what I say, and it's not about, Lord, what we think. Lord, I pray tonight, God, the Holy Spirit of God would lead us unto truth. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the promises. And God, Lord, even though I am just a little bent this week over some things, Lord, of this world, again, this our country, I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, to not get stuck on those things, God. But remember, Lord, you've put us here for such a time like this. And God, who could tell, Lord, what you'll do in a day like this. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight, God, to glean from these pages, these verses. God, put our mind in the right perspective and place. Lord, I pray for our young folks that are in class. I pray, God, you bless there. God, again, a lot of needs in our midst, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for just being that great one, God, that can take care of every need, Lord, and we'll just praise you for what you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. So we've looked at several of these places here in Revelation chapter 16. Last time that we looked at something here, we were down in the latter part of that, talking about how that place of Armageddon, how all those things are going to take place. The devil's not going to drive the nations together. God's going to draw those nations all through religion because of those spirits that are doing miracles. And boy, we're in that realm of mindset today. People flock to anything and claim that, well, boy, they got to know God. Look at what they're doing. You better be careful. You better line things up with this book. And just because it might look good on the outside, don't mean what's on the inside is worth a hoot. Amen. You ever had a piece of fruit? Boy, that thing looks so pretty on the outside, but you cut that thing open and it's black all the way through. There's a lot of stuff like that in this world. It might look good on the outside. And a lot of these cults, I'm telling you, a lot of these false religions today, they cover their wickedness through goodness. And so you got to be careful with that. And that's what we looked at the last time. And tonight we're going to draw our minds here to verses 8 through 10 here. And look again, a primary look, a preview of what hell is going to be here. And God puts it here upon this earth. And we'll say a lot about that, but I want to draw our minds back to a little bit of what's, you know, you got to get your origin. You got to get sort of what's happening as you look at things like this. So you got to sort of look at what's taking place right now upon the earth at this place here in Revelation chapter 16. So I want us to look back. Look back in Revelation chapter 12 real quickly. Revelation chapter 12. What's here? What's going on here upon the earth here as we read Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 12 told us this. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon, notice, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Who does he deceive? He don't just deceive some. He deceives the whole world. And I'm glad, as a child of God, I'm not part of this world. Amen. And the Bible says here that devil, that Satan, as he's cast out, will deceive the whole earth. There's going to be great deception. And we looked at that with that thought of Armageddon. People are going to be deceived. And that's the reason we've got to take the Bible. We've got to learn the Bible. We've got to study the Bible. You've got to hide the Word of God in your heart. You've got to pray. You've got to be able to discern the spirits. Boy, it amazes me. I was thinking about it this week. Of all the preachers in the last year that I can start naming off preachers on my fingers and hands and run out of fingers and toes of awesome men, great men. Men that at one time were fundamentally strong in the faith that have fallen either by sin or have compromised to the Word of God. And that's an increasing thing in these days, and it amazes me. But here again, what's taking place, what's happening, we see that serpent is going to be, that Satan's going to be cast out of that second heaven. He's going to be upon this earth. He's going to be deceiving the whole world. Verse number 9 again says, about last part of there, he says he was cast into the earth and his angels was cast out with him. Verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord, there is victory. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Again, us in heaven. There ought to be, we're going to be in heaven at this time. And the Bible tells us in verse number 12, it says, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Then it says again, that great woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because all of Satan. Now listen, today a lot of people give Satan a lot of credit that ain't his. But when it comes to this place right here, all of Satan and all of his angels and all of his nymphs and all those different thoughts of wickedness, all of that is going to be poured upon this earth. Never been like that before. But it will be here. And the Bible tells us that the woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So what's taking place here in Revelation chapter 16 is God begins to pour out this fourth and fifth vial. Every bit of Satan, every bit of evilness has been put upon this earth. And God is telling them, woe unto you that inhabit this earth. And again tonight, let me say it one more time. If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get saved. Why? Because you don't want to be here. There ain't going to be no second chances for you. They're not going to be these books that's out there now. You know, you're going to overcome. You'll find your way. There's not going to be a way. Why? Because you've sat through church after church after church. You've heard the gospel. You're going to be deceived by this old devil. So that's part of what's taking place there. It says, woe to their inhabitants. Look over in chapter 13. I want you to see what's declared. What's people doing at this time? Look in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 4. All of Satan, all of his evilness, all his wickedness has fell upon this earth. And notice what takes place. He's deceived them. Verse number 4 says, and they. Who are they? The inhabitants of this earth. They worship who? The dragon. Why? Because he gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is then likened to the beast? The world, the inhabitants of this earth, they're going to be so deceived when Satan comes down. They're not going to see him as Satan and his evilness. They're going to see him as a god. Boy, it'd be good today if the earth, the world today, we're at this time in Revelation chapter 13, they're saying, who is likened to the beast? The church, the believer today ought to be shouting, who's like our God? But you don't hear much of that. Oh, you can't say that today. Boy, I'm telling you, in America, our freedoms of religion, our freedoms of serving the true and living God, they're leaving us quick. The more you see of this homosexual movement and all the things that are changing in our governments, it won't be long. We're going to be the haters. We're going to be the ones that they say are the troublemakers. We're going to be the ones that are going to try to quiet. Why? Because I hope we're going to stand up and say you're wrong. But the majority of the world, it amazed me. And the mentality, again, I don't know. I guess it's my soapbox for this week, but to listen to so-called young people, 20s, 18, 20-year-old, they interviewed these so-called Boy Scouts and how they were all for, oh, we ought to have equality. We want all this. We want everybody to be the same. People don't understand what they're saying. And when people hear that, they think, well, yeah, we want everybody to be the same. You look at America. The greatest downfall of America is our letting everything of the world come into our camp. You look at history. We've let everything of this world. What happened to the nation of Israel when they ran out and started serving the gods of Egypt? What happened? They started turning away from the true and living God. And we've let all these gods of this world come into our country, and look at the influence that it's had. None of it good. But I'm glad there's still light. There's still truth. And it's time for us as the believer to stand firm in these days. And that's what we're looking at. But here in Revelation chapter 13, look at their mindset. It says, and they worship the dragon. They wasn't out there just saying, yeah, that's him, all right. They were worshiping him. It's hard to find people that worship the God of heaven today. They go through the motion of coming to church, but do you worship him? Do you lift up your voice? Do you lift up your hand? Do you lift up your being and worship the true God? There's difference in being in church and worshiping. I don't come to church to worship. You don't? No. I live to worship. I come to church to get fed. Worship ought to be a common part of our being. Every part of us ought to be lifting to the God of heaven, glorifying the God of heaven. That's worshiping Him. And here, all of Satan and all of his evilness is going to come down upon this world, and they're going to worship him. That's what the Bible says. Verse 4 says this is the mentality. And again, I'm trying to get your mind of all that. When we start looking at what's taking place here in Revelation chapter 16, you need to understand what's taking place at that time. Satan's here. All of his power's here. And they're worshiping in verse number 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? They're pretty proud of their God, aren't they? And we let them tear our God down all the time. They're saying, who could fight our God? What's happened to them? How can that happen? I look at me and I see, I know families today that used to serve God and they've flown out in some off the wall kind of mess. You think, how could that happen? They've been deceived. And tonight I say all that to say this, you better be careful. If it happened to them, it could happen to me. And it can happen to you. Oh no, preacher, that'll never. Boy, I've heard that before. And it turns around and it bites them. We've got to be careful. We've got to stay close to the Lord. Why? Because the devil will deceive. And they'll think you're doing everything right. I talked to a person this week that told me something. I thought, I'm not comparing them to me. And I'm not saying that we're right, they're wrong. But it's just that slip. They go to a Baptist church. Their pastor came in Wednesday night wearing blue jeans and a polo shirt and said they were there less than 30 minutes and went home. I was like, well, I didn't even go. I don't come in here with blue jeans. I mean, it's not about what you wear that makes you anyway, but this is God's house. And I want to lift Him up. I want to give Him my best. What's happening? People's minds are being deceived. I was telling Brother Rick, I got a phone call today from a former pastor in this area, and they're trying to get a big crusade. Oh, that's great. No, it's not. Preacher, are you going to get involved with it? No. Why? Because he's taken us and them and over there, and he wants to lump all these churches together, so-called churches, and have a big crusade. I got a problem with that. Because I'm not going to ask you to go somewhere where you're probably going to hear preaching that's not true. They're not going to use the King James Bible. They're not going to have the right doctrine. They're not going to have the right attitude and spirit. They want to bring everybody together. When it's questioned about what Bible, this is what the man said. Well, we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. We want them to come. Well, let's just, hey, Super Bowl Sunday's this Sunday, man. How many of us will help me? We'll buy a bunch of beer and, man, we'll have a crowd Sunday morning. We just want them to come together. Come on. Don't we want to do that? Man, we could buy a bunch of beer and just fill the pews up Sunday. We could put the game up there on the big screen. Ain't that what we want?
No.
That's what the world wants. But that's not what God wants. Again, the devil at this time, and it's happening now. We're ushering in what's getting ready to take place. But the devil, that deceiver, is going to have the minds of people thinking. That's what we looked last week about Armageddon. It's not going to be some great mystery. God's going to take religion and people are going to think that they're doing. Remember the Apostle Paul when he was Saul? He thought he was doing right. In his mind, in the depths of his heart, because he was that great religious being, he thought that he was doing God a favor. He was running out another doctrine. He was running out something he didn't think was true. But God showed him. And tonight, that's the same attitude that's going to come into this place. There, people are going to really think they're worshiping a God. But it ain't the real God. The true God. So they worship the dragon. They said, who's likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So that's the mentality. So go back over to Revelation chapter 16 real quickly. I want to show you some things. Look at verse number 8 and 9. We'll look at the first vial, or fourth vial here. The Bible says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him. Notice that tone there of that personal side of that sun, I believe, is representing. Here we're talking about the sun as the planet in the earth, but he's given a personality here because I believe that we're seeing a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And the Bible tells us here that it says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched. When God does something, he does it. That vial was poured out. The sun was increased. Men were scorched. And let me say this, and I don't know how to describe it any better than what Brother Young did when I was in Bible college. There's always things that you can remember, certain things. I'll never forget when we were studying here. He said, it's going to be so hot I've made mention this several times, so you've heard it before, but it's going to be so hot. It's like at Thanksgiving when you take that turkey and put them inside that bag and seal that bag up and put them in the oven. That's exactly what it's going to be like upon this earth. Men are inside this bag of flesh, and it's going to be so hot, so scorching. They're going to basically be boiling inside their own flesh and not die. See, hell is not a place where you're there for a little bit and you burn up and gone. Hell is a place of continual torment, continual agony, continual fire. So the Bible here says again, and they were scorched, verse number 9, with not just heat. The Bible says with great heat. And blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. So, again, it's a preview of hell. I want you to notice, and I've already made mention of it, but I want to show you again. I want to mention it to you again. These men, they are in such pain. The inhabitants of this earth, that sun is going to be turned up so hot. And I'm going to show you how hot it's going to be. It's turned up so hot that men are going to be scorched with a great heat. And instead of falling on their face before the God of heaven, they blaspheme the name of God. They curse God. The Bible says the one that had the power over the plague, they curse him. They blaspheme him. So the fact of this matter, tonight many religions today, and again Sunday morning we're going to, Lord willing, if God doesn't change me, I just can't imagine him changing it, but if he does, he does. But Sunday morning, we're going to really pour our mind at the thoughts of hell a little bit. And I'm not going to be mean about it. I'm just going to lay some things out. Boy, God gave me a great illustration. Now, I would share it tonight, but then you wouldn't have it to Sunday morning, so you'll just have to be here Sunday morning to hear that. But I've never read one. It really just spoke to my heart. I hope it burns into people's heart. But when it comes to hell, most people today, you don't hear a lot of preaching on hell. You don't hear people talking about hell. You don't hear people teaching on hell because most people don't want to deal with the fact that there is a hell. Preacher Maynard, I know, has a message. I've heard him preach it one or two times. Hell is not a curse word. Hell is a real place. And hell is been watered down in the minds of men. It's not a place to dread or fear. It's not a place that's imminent on people's minds. And hell today in many religious sects and churches around, even in the Baptist realm, we've lightened up on what hell really is because we don't want the people to feel uncomfortable. Well, I'd rather be uncomfortable here than uncomfortable for eternity in that terrible place, amen. But there's a lot of religions today, and I'll name this one. I'm not going to go through. Of course, Catholicism. What's Catholicism say? Catholicism says, and some of you come out of Catholicism, so you know more about it than I do, but Catholicism teaches what? Purgatory. Right? You've heard that. You've heard people make mention of purgatory. There's other religions that have that same mentality that when you die, you go to a place of pain and agony until you get things worked out and all your sins have been paid for, and then you get out of that place. And that's what purgatory is in the minds of those people. It's a place, it's a middle place. It's not hell, it's not heaven, but it's a place that when you die, you go there, and your family, of course, you know, religion's got to have money, so they make your families feel like they got to buy you out of purgatory. And when you've been there and you've paid for your sins, you get out of there. Is that not what they teach? Is that not what they try to build around the minds of people? Well, let me show you what the Bible says. God says that even the fires of hell doesn't change a man to repentance. So purgatory, there's no way that would bring a man to turn his back away from his sin and turn his eyes towards God. Why? Because here God turns the fires of hell upon this earth. And what does man do? They don't run to God. What do? They curse him. They blaspheme him. So judgment does not bring people to God. What does? What brings people to God? The Bible has an answer. Look in Romans chapter 2. Preachers use scare tactics all the time. I don't want to. I probably have, but I don't want to. It is a scary thing. The Bible tells us it's a scary thing. But what does the Bible say? If judgment, here in Revelation chapter 16, what a great picture that if God would put the fire of the sun upon the flesh of this world to the place it scorched them. You ever had a bad sunburn? I have. Man, I've been burnt this crispy crittery. And I don't get into all this global warming and all this ozone stuff. I don't know. God's in charge of this earth. I can't do anything about that. But I do believe that I've noticed, maybe it's just this body's getting different, but man, the last few years, it just seems like every year the sun just gets a little worse and a little worse and it burns you worse. I feel like it's that way. I don't know. I'm not trying to explain it. And that's just the natural sun of today. Here in Revelation chapter 16, God's going to turn her up to the place where men are scorched. Don't you just love it, fellas, when you get sunburnt, somebody comes up, pops you on the back? Don't that feel good? Yeah. And here they're going to be burnt, scorched, baked. You know how that turkey, when it comes out of the oven, that skin is just so leathery. All that juice just bubbling around. That's what men and women and young people are going to be like here in Revelation chapter 16. Preacher, we'll have air conditioning, will you? Oh, we got shade tree. No, you won't. God's going to destroy all the trees. We're cutting them down anyway now, so he ain't got a whole lot to destroy. Scorched. And you would think, you know, we play mercy. Mercy, 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 let go of me. Don't work when it comes to spiritual matters. God hangs them over the fire of hell. It don't draw them to God. What does it do? It turns their back on God even more. Cursing him. What does work this evening? Look in Romans chapter 2. And if this don't work, nothing ever will. Romans chapter 2. Verse number 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What draws a man to God? The Bible says the goodness of God. The goodness of God. That's what leads men to repentance. And listen, what is that goodness of God? The cross. Shedding his blood, died for my sins. The mercy and grace of God. That's what men need to see today. They need to see a God that truly loves them. And God is love. But he's also a God of judgment. But he loves people and he loves them so much that he died for them. That's the good. And if people today aren't drawn to God for his goodness, Revelation chapter 16 shows us they'll never be drawn through to him by his judgment. So that's something great to see. Look back over Revelation chapter 16. So we see that fourth vial. Men are baked. Here in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 10, we see that fifth vial. Again, we see another part of hell. It says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. What does God say he's going to cast them out into? Utter darkness. Isn't that a contrary of wording? We go from Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 and 9 to a sun that's so hot, a fire that is so hot that it scorches men. to 2 verses later, God turns out the light. Same thing of hell. Hell is a place where the fire is never quenched. But it's also a place of utter darkness. I can't explain that. I just know that's what the Bible says it is. So we see here that says the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed. Remember that gnashing of teeth? Look what's happening. This is upon the earth. Here's a preview of what's getting ready to happen to all the people that's in hell. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. You ever seen anybody in pain like that? You ever seen anybody? I mean, today we have so many drugs that prevent people from really seeing the pain that bodies go through. I guess probably one of the worst pains that I've ever seen anybody is with my wife's mother. And she would have never done this in her right mind, but she was in so much pain. Something, the cancer had eaten through her backbone, and something, we heard it pop. And she was in so much pain that she grabbed my wife's arm and bit her. Just because of the simple fact of pain. It was just beyond her taking. And here God's going to turn out that light. And they're going to be in utter darkness. And they're going to be in so much pain that the Bible tells us here that they gnaw their tongue. I've seen people have seizures where their tongue rolls back in their mouth and they choke on it or they chew it. It's pretty nasty. But here, people, can you imagine? People upon this earth that God's going to put such a pain on them that they are gnawing their own tongue. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But it is true. It says they gnaw their tongues for pain, verse 11, and blaspheme the God of heaven because their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Again, same thing as what we just looked at the fourth vial. Judgment will not bring a man towards God. God pours out the darkness upon this world and pain and sores to the place that a man would take his own tongue. Don't it hurt when you bite your tongue? Just a little bit. You know, we've all done that. You're eating something, you know, some reason your tongue gets in the way and you bite your tongue. That hurts. Can you imagine gnawing it? Like a piece of chewing gum? Even in that place, man is going to blaspheme God. It's amazing. Another thing that I want to bring back to your mind, remember what they said? And over there in Revelation 12, when they're so deceived, they worship that devil. Who's like our God? Who can make war with him? God says, let me show you something. And what does God do? Where did he pour that darkness out at? On the seat. Look at it. Verse 10. Poured out his vial upon where? The seat of the beast. The one they worshipped. The one they said, who's like our God? Who can make war with him? And God says, there ain't no battle to be fought. It's over with. Amen. And he pours out that darkness upon the seat of that beast. That center of everything they thought they had now is darkened. This is my little rabbit trail for the night. And it's one of those things, we know it. We know this is true. I'm going to say we know it. I believe we know it. Just as hell's not preached on, hell's not mentioned much, this little rabbit trail, I believe, tonight is one of those things that needs more preaching on today. What is the common factor between the two vials? Notice again, verse number 9 says, and they repented not. Notice verse number 11, The latter part says, and repented not. Why are they here? Why are these people here? Why are they having to go through this? The same reason that any man will not be in heaven, because they refuse to repent of their sins. See it right there? People today don't like that thought of repentance. Preachers today have quit preaching it. Churches have quit standing on it. The Bible says much about repentance, and if you're saved tonight, you had to repent of your sin. There has to be godly sorrow. There has to be something that's broken. Today we've got people to the place where say this prayer, 1, 2, 3, you're it, and there's no change in their life. They turn around, go right back into the mud holes. They go right back in to doing the sins that they've always done. There's no change in their lives. I'm glad tonight that I can say that God has put repentance in me to the place when I do sin, that I'm sorry for my sins, that it turns me, that I don't like sin when it's around. But today, people have been given the mindset that you can live your life like you want to and feel that you're going to go to heaven when you die, and what a lie straight out of the pits of hell. That's the Bible. Let me give you a bunch of verses tonight. The problem here was no repentance. Look with me in Luke chapter 5. These people are burnt. They're in darkness and they repent not. Luke chapter 5. Let's see the importance of repentance. Luke 5 verse 32. Here's what the Bible says. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to what? To repentance. Most people today, I'm all right. I'm good. I'm okay. Me and God, we're okay on this thing. What mindset is that? No one is sorry for sin. Most people today, the only time they're sorry for sin is when they get caught. Well, if they just realize they're caught as soon as they've done it. God says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but call sinners. And all, the Bible says, all have sinned. And he's called them to what? To repentance. A sorrow, a brokenness, a turning away from that, from sin that separated us from God. To turn ourselves to a God that loves us. Look in Luke chapter 15. These ones in Revelation chapter 16 will not repent. Today, people don't want to repent. They want to live in their sin. They're all right. Luke chapter 15, look at verse number 7. As I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that what? Repenteth. A sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God says there's going to be joy in heaven when somebody sees the badness, when they see the ugliness of sin and they repent with godly sorrow and turn to God and away from sin. There must be repentance. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, look in verse 47. Verse 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What did he say? You preach what? Repentance and forgiveness. Everybody today wants to just hear the forgiveness. And I'm glad that God does forgive. But what does he forgive if you don't repent? God says, tells us here that we need to preach repentance and remission of sins. Look at Acts chapter 5. Got to hurry. Acts chapter 5. Look in verse number 31. Bible says in verse 31, says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Again, it's repentance and forgiveness. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 21, says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's repentance and faith. Ye must be born again, is what he told Nicodemus. What is that birth? It's repentance and forgiveness. There's got to be a turning before there's forgiveness. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse number 10. What is repentance? Here's your definition. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Sorrow in this world worketh death. But godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance. Man today, again, does not like the word repentance. They don't want to be told they're wrong. You live the way you want to, you'll be all right. It's not what God says. One other place on repentance, look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, very common verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. So thankful for the truth of this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? To a prayer? To a 1, 2, 3, I'm in? No, He's not willing that any should perish. Or that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why are these men, women, boys, girls in Revelation chapter 16 having to go through this? Because they would not repent. Would not repent. So again, back over Revelation chapter 16. I got to move real quickly on these next verses, but I'll give them to you and we'll go. Again, it's a great preview of hell. Verse 8, we see the bright, hot sun scorches men. Verse 10, he turns off the light and it's dark. Hell fire again, where the fire's not quenched, the worm dieth not, and is there outer darkness. That sun, that magnification of that sun, what is that? Well, the Bible tells us something about that. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. How hot's it going to be? I meant to get on the internet and see what scientists say the sun is. I don't remember. You know, I remember in school they told me, but I don't know how they figured that out. I don't think we've got a thermometer that'll read that high. But we know the sun's hot. We know it's a fireball. But when God here in Revelation chapter 16 turns the sun open, burns him up a little bit more, turns up the heat, how hot's it going to be? Look in Isaiah chapter 30. I get there myself. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 26, tribulation verses. Look in verse number 26 of Isaiah chapter 30. The Bible says, Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, And the light of the sun shall be, notice, sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Sevenfold. The sun's going to increase by sevenfold. Can you imagine? I remember priming tobacco on days when it was 100 and some degrees, and buddy, she was hot. But seven times hotter? Does that thought of being turned up seven times bring anything to your remembrance? Remember a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar? Got mad at some Hebrews? What did he say? They had a furnace over there. What did he do? How much hotter did he want her? Seven times. Ain't that a coinky-dink? There's nothing that's by accident in this book. That king didn't have any idea that he was showing us a great example of Revelation chapter 16 when he told him to burn that furnace seven times hotter. But there's a great significance to that when you draw your mind to Revelation chapter 16, what's going to take upon this earth. He's going to turn that sun up seven times hotter. Take your mind there to Daniel. Is it Daniel chapter 3? Is that right? Remember? Yep, Daniel chapter 3. There, King Nebuchadnezzar, when he turned up that furnace seven times hotter than it's ever been, who died? The ones that threw him in there, didn't they? What happened to them Hebrews? They's down there just walking around. Ain't this something? Revelation chapter 16. God's going to turn the sun seven times hotter, and guess who's going to pay the price? It won't be the Hebrews. God's going to have them over in them little place, taking care of his children over there. And all that heat's going to be on this world. It's amazing. Pretty amazing. Looking, let me just tell you this one. We won't turn there. Remember in Jonah, we all know the sun can do damage. We know that in the middle of the summer, people start having heat strokes and things of that nature caused just the natural sun. We know that just as the sun is right now, it's very dangerous, you know, it can hurt people. Over in Jonah chapter 4, remember when Jonah was up there having his pity party and the sun hits him in the top of the head? What happens to him? He basically has a heat stroke. And if the sun will do that to a man sitting there on top of a mountain with the poochie lip disease, what will the sun do to men seven times hotter? It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. So we go from great heat, great light. I can't imagine how bright it's going to be at that time with the sun being that hot. I don't know how it's going to be, but I can just sort of picture in my mind that fireball. You know how a gas stove is. You turn on simmer or whatever, and it's just a little bitty flame. You start cranking it up, she just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, doesn't she? That sun's going to do something to get seven times hotter. I don't know if it's going to get closer. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to get hot. And we go from the fourth vial of all that heat to the fifth vial of what? Darkness. You know, God showed us a lot about that darkness too. Look over in Exodus chapter 10. I love these verses. I remember our Vacation Bible School pictures that I came up and we had on the slideshow of all the plagues. Here in Exodus chapter 10, God puts that plague of darkness upon Egypt. And I remember on the slideshow, it was just black with little white eyeballs, because it was so dark. You know, there's something about darkness. We know that. Mamas, don't we always know that when our children are sick, they always become worse in the night? Fevers always come up in the night. People are more frightened when in darkness. Look here in Exodus chapter 10 real quickly. Exodus 10 verse 21. Look what God does with darkness. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." That's dark. That's black dark. It's God in Exodus chapter 10 put a darkness on the nation of Egypt that was so dark. God says it's so dark that they could feel the dark. I've never been in that kind of darkness. I've been in some dark places. You know, How many of you have ever been down in one of those caverns? Ever been down in caverns? They'll take you down there, and what do? They tell you to stand still, and they turn the light out. That's when you make sure you got your hand on the wallet, because the guy beside you might steal it. No. When they turn that light off in that cavern, you can't even see your hand right there, can you? I mean, your hand could be that close to your face. And I've been in, when I was in the fire department, I've been in houses before where you couldn't see nothing. But it's going to be so dark. Here in Revelation chapter 16, God gives a picture of it in Exodus chapter 10 here that they could feel it. That's pretty dark. Let's read on. It says, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. I take this for what it is. I don't know. I can't say that these people are right. But they say that a body, a human body, after about 2 to 3 days of being in darkness alone, most human beings will become totally insane. Their people's minds cannot handle being in a dark place. That's the reason they use that for torture. They can't handle being in such a dark place alone for over about 2 to 3 days before they totally lose their mental being. And here the nation of Israel was in darkness for 3 days. Thick darkness. Notice verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. God in Exodus chapter 10, Revelation chapter 16, he's going to pour darkness upon the seed of the beast, upon this world. The lights are going to go out. If you remember back over in Revelation at the beginning, we talked about how the stars and the sun and all those things are going to fall. This darkness is coming. Here, that darkness in Exodus was so bad, so thick that they could feel it. And the Bible says that they saw not. Can you imagine sitting here tonight if the lights went out? And it was so dark you couldn't see nobody beside of you. I've walked through here during when I'm up here doing something to church and I don't want to turn the lights on. I've come across here and I've about killed myself a few times because I couldn't see the pew and I run all over it. And it wasn't even real dark in here then. But can you imagine being in a place that is so dark that you're scared to move because you can't see? Think about it. 3 days they sat where they were because it was so dark they couldn't tell where to go. Well, preacher, I got flashlight. I got my cell phone. I use my cell phone for light a lot of times. I'll click that thing on to find my way to the bathroom or something in the middle of the night, you know, so I don't wake everybody up. That little bit of light just... No, God's going to pour out a darkness that... I don't care how bright a flashlight you think you got, it won't pierce it. They saw not one another, verse 23 says, neither rose from their place for 3 days. And then look at the last part of that verse. What a promise. Revelation chapter 16, God's going to pour darkness upon this place. It's going to be so dark, so thick. But look here in verse 23. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Preacher, how does that work? I ain't got a clue. I just know it worked. And I know in Revelation chapter 16, God's going to have his nation sitting right over there in a place. And he's going to put darkness all over this world, but they're going to have a light. So what a great darkness God's going to put upon this earth. Look real quickly, Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to have to quit. We'll look at this one and I'll quit. I'll finish this up and we'll finish up. I want to give you something to leave on. This will be a good place to leave on. Great darkness. Isaiah chapter 60. Let me get there. It's hard for me to think, turn, and look at the same time. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, look at verse number 1. It says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." That's what's happening in Revelation chapter 16. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." We'll look at it again next week. I want to give you all these verses because they fall, they just stack on top of each other. But let me give you the punch of it now. The Bible tells us the Lord's coming again, right? Now, a lot of people in the church today are very confused when you say that. The Lord's coming for the church, but he's not coming back to the earth at that time. We're going to meet him in the air. But the Lord's second return is coming, his second advent. He will come back to this earth and put his feet upon this earth. And the Bible says that everybody will see that. You know how they're going to see it? Right here it told us. This earth, God's going to pour that vial upon this earth, and that total darkness is going to cover. Thick, dark, so thick that you can feel the darkness. Men aren't going to be able to see nothing. They're going to be sitting there in pain and agony. And when that darkness comes on the scene in a few days, I don't know how long it's going to be. 3 days they sat there in Egypt. Maybe it's 3 days. If you're here during that time, you can plan on being in dark 3 days. I think it'd be a good bet for you. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know 3 days in Egypt. But this earth's going to be in darkness. So dark that they can't see their hand in front of their face. And then comes in verse number 2, says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise." He's going to step out of the portals of heaven. He's going to come down through the clouds. He's going to pierce this place. All this darkness and the light of the glory of God is going to shine upon this earth. And everybody's going to see him. They've been in total darkness up to this period. And now, boom. The light of God burst out on the scene. Hallelujah. And that's what's happening here. And let me say this, and I'll say it because I want, there's some other verses to go around it. There's a lot of dark days in our days now. There's people that's going through things you're thinking you don't know how much you can take. You don't know how dark it's getting in your days. You've got health issues, financial issues, whatever issues you've got, and you think it's getting so dark around you. Can I tell you, according to the Word of God, that's when God will burst out on the scene and show himself in his glory. So when you're in your darkness, that's when God shows his brightness. And I'll give you some verses for that next week. Revelation chapter 16, the fourth and fifth vial, a great preview of what hell is. The sun 7 times hotter, scorching men. For God to pour out a vial of darkness, that men will sit in utter darkness, so much pain that they're chewing their tongue and they refuse to repent. Men today are going to go to hell because they refuse to repent. Me and my wife was talking about a person today that stood in that office right back there. And stuck their finger in my face and my wife's face and said nobody was going to tell them what to do. That's pretty much the attitude of man today. They wasn't telling me that. It don't bother me. It bothered me at the time. But they told God, says, "You're not going to tell me what I'm going to do." What that is a heart that will not repent. God, I don't care what you say. Better be careful when you have that mindset. Amen. Let's stand together this evening. We'll have a word of invitation.